we're going to pray. We're going to transition into this. I've been listening to Garden City series. I think John and Josiah have done a great job. There's so much to unpack in that revelation. And then with Mike Taylor being here and then John last week talking about the Syrophoenician woman, you haven't been without good messages. Amen. It's been a great feeding time. So, Lord, we thank you for speaking of feeding on Thanksgiving week, that you are the bread that has come down from heaven. And we invite you today in a spirit of wisdom and revelation to illuminate our hearts, to feed our spirits today, God, to encourage us, to give us insight. I thank you for what you're doing in every single life, that this is a time of your glory. These are days appointed. These days are days appointed for the furtherance of your gospel, for the furtherance of salvation to our households, our family, our loved ones, and all that you're doing. In what would normally be a super busy season, we thank you that there is a peace that passes understanding. And anchor our hearts today in your peace. Anchor our hearts today in your love. Do amazing things by your Spirit in our midst, in Jesus' name. If you're agreement, say amen. So this is just reflections on Garden City. Listening through the messages, there's a couple things that struck me. Some things will be repetitive, some things won't be. But many things worth emphasizing. Amen? Many things worth discussing. I love Genesis because it's the book of God's original intent. And in Genesis 1:26, where he said, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule." That's the NIV translation. And that's, if you think about why God put you on earth, as was brought out through that whole series, the idea to rule with him, that requires some meditation, doesn't it? In a world where rulership and kind of dictatorship and all, let's just say all forms of rulership. It was interesting, and Mark Zuckerberg started a book club, and the first book that he released is called The End of Power. And it's actually talking about the role that leadership is taking in the world, that there's this transition. A lot has to do with social media, where leadership voices are being equaled now with the voice of the masses. And leadership and the idea of rulership, the idea of taking charge and creating direction for people to follow, that it's come under a shadow, unlike prior generations. But God said to us, for us to work this out in our mind, that he's called us to rule. Another translation says to have dominion. And that can be foreign in people's minds, but it's actually what has been appointed to us by God as we were created in his image and likeness. Then he blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." That's a pretty amazing charge, isn't it? This is my plan. I'm making you in my image and likeness. I want you to have dominion. I want you to rule with me. And then I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you to be fruitful. And your commission is to fill the earth and subdue it. Okay. This is his original intent. Why do we exist? That idea of rule. I love how John discussed that in the expanded translation. To actively partner with God in taking the world somewhere. Amen. How many know the world's going somewhere? Yeah. And if we don't, through God's influence, take it somewhere, then where's it going to go? Right? There's other influences in the cosmos, right? There's something called the kingdom of darkness that's under the rulership of Satan and his fallen angels. Talks about principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. That is an influence on the earth. Man, in his just disconnected state from God, has his own will, his own ability to create, his own ability to give influence, his own ability to create direction. So people are going to move somewhere. Things are moving towards something. But we've been anointed and called by God to actively partner with him to help the world go somewhere. Amen? Amen. Not excited about that. Too much responsibility on that. I tell you, just putting a float together is a lot of responsibility. Taking the world somewhere is a whole other league. Amen? So, but God was so committed to this prophetic declaration, he made this provision in the garden. He gave him a tree of life. And he gave them a river that flows from Eden and waters the garden. You say that like in God's commitment. Hey, this is my plan, created in my image and likeness. I want you to fill the earth, multiply and fill the earth. And my provision is in the middle of that so that you can keep going. I put a tree of life. And it says in 3:22 of Genesis that the tree of life was set there so man could eat of it and live forever. That was amazing. Even those guys that lived in the beginning, 980 years, I think it was Adam, or they all came up to almost 1,000 years in natural days because of the lack of disease and probably lots of other things that we could articulate and things that we wouldn't even know about. But his intent was, I want you to multiply and fill the earth, and so I've given you a tree you can eat from, and you'll never die. You'll just be able to keep doing that. I know that tweaks our minds to think about, but that's what the scripture said. And then he said, a river that flows from Eden and waters the garden. It's interesting, that river that flowed from Eden. When you think about, again, the book of Genesis, God's original intent, and it's so loaded with information. It's so coded with things that just continue forward in a continuum all the way through the book of Revelation. It's actually a continuum all the way into eternity. And this is one of those things. There was a garden in God's design that flowed from Eden, and it split into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there's gold. The gold in that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So here's God. Said he created a river, and the river flows into four different parts, again, with the idea that where man goes, it's impossible to be fruitful and multiply without water. Amen? And so he describes those rivers flowing, branching in different directions, and then talks about the land there. But in his mind, the idea is they'll follow the water to get to the land because they're under a mandate to be fruitful, multiply, and occupy the entire earth. So here it is in God's heart of original intent. He names this. He gives us the names of the river. Pishon means increase. Gihon means bursting forth. Hiddekel means rapid. Euphrates means fruitfulness. So you look at those four together, increase, bursting forth, rapid, and fruitfulness. It's kind of interesting to tie that back to what is God's original intent when he creates a river and branches it in four directions and names it and says, you're under a mandate to go multiply, have dominion, and be filled, and I'm giving you a water source that every time you go by it, you'll think of increase, bursting forth, rapid, and fruitfulness. Amen? That's in God's original intent, the nature of God, what he had planned for us. We would be motivated, we would be fed by, we'd be irrigated by, we'd be able to drink from, increase, bursting forth, rapid, and fruitfulness. I like that. Amen? Makes me think like God's on our side. And then you bring that into the New Testament in Romans 5:17. If by one man's, Adam's offense, death reigned, much more those who receive, you looked at this scripture a few weeks ago, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. So Jesus came into the world, part of, and I think it's in the next scripture, he came that we would have life and life abundantly. You think about God's original intent, all of the things that happened in the fall of the garden and the consequence and the historical record passed on to us through the Old Testament, how man had to deal with the curse that had come upon the earth, laboring, fighting, fussing, chaos, the whole Babylonian deal, the whole, what's his face in the book of Genesis that built the Tower of Babel. You follow that whole story and you see how chaos and corruption entered into the world. Jesus comes back onto the scene to restore original intent. Amen? Man's still created in his image and likeness. He came to bring that identity, release that identity into people. He released the revelation of the new commandment of loving one another. He came on the scene to bring life, life abundantly, God's original intent back into humanity. And he said, Paul said this, if it's by receiving the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace is where you get reinstated back into rulership. But his intention is that we'd have life and life abundantly. And then he talks about a river also. He said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, who those who believed in him were later to receive. And I got to say, if we would go to Acts chapter 2 and we'd look at the day of the original outpour of the Holy Spirit, all those four things are present in that chapter. Increase, bursting forth, rapid, and fruitfulness. All happened when he poured out his Spirit on that day. And it came like a rapid or rushing mighty wind. It filled the place. The church was instantaneously increased by what God had done. There was a bursting forth. There was new languages that came out that day. Signs and wonders and miracles began to birth in that place. And fruitfulness was everywhere as a result of the river hitting people, which was the same as the Holy Spirit. They're synonymous. We could look at in scriptures and prove that. God's original intent, interfacing with the rivers. Because and in that place, actively partnering with us and taking the world somewhere. Amen? When the river came, people encountered the river, the bursting forth, all of the activity that the river created. It was part of God actively partnering and taking us and the world somewhere. Amen? How many know that hasn't changed? Come on, amen, somebody. Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams, say streams. I think there's more than four. But there's streams that come from the river. In Revelation, that says it proceeds from the Lamb and from the throne. It flows from Jesus down into the earth. It touches people with the same original intent. It's taking us somewhere. And there's a bursting forth in it. There's a rapidness in it. There's encouragement in it. There's the fruitfulness in it. There's the things of the Holy Spirit that are in that river to keep us on God's original intent for us. And then he says, not only is there a river, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious, or that accepts the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, right? That's where the rulership comes. He said, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The story stays the same. In the beginning, in the garden, there was an actual tree of life. There's an actual tree of life still in the universe. And he said, if we're victorious, we get to still eat of that. Do I believe that means we'll live forever? Not in this mortal body, but it is a promise that connects us to eternal life forever in him. Amen. It's still a reality. We're still on the original intent. We're still on his plan and his purpose. What starts in the garden ends in the garden city. That was the theme that was presented. And I like this. This is kind of gets into philosophy, gets into theology, gets into science, gets into all different forms of human interface. But the idea of future versus present, the idea how different verb tenses run through the scriptures and some things that we're walking in this reality, the more completeness of that is in a reality to come. But this is one of those scriptures, and it's in Hebrews, and it says, but you have come. Say, have come. For those who know grammar, what tense is that? Have come. Yeah. It's already happened. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. How many have had that experience? A few of you. We could ask you to discuss that with us, and most of them would say, unless you've been out of the body, and you've been there, some have, seen heaven, I've got a massive collection of things like that. But most of us, it's an experiential thing that we begin to realize through prayer, we begin to realize through worship, that there is a connection on the inside of us to heaven, and these words that are printed on a page begin to come alive. And it's the idea where we could say, I've never walked in it in my glorified body that's promised me in the scriptures, but I've experienced it. Like I know somehow through the Spirit that that's real, and that reality that there are thousands and thousands of angels, that I can connect with that actually exists someplace in the universe. And I'll talk about that place in the universe. That there's a joyful assembly, that there's the church already that's beginning to gather, whose names are written in heaven, and God, the judge of all, is there, and Jesus is from headquarters in heaven, is mediating your new covenant and mediating out my new covenant. That there is this place, and it said, you have come past tense, not when you die, you're going to get there. Oh, me. So Josiah used the phrase, and he understands this principle. He used the phrase parallel universes, but I'm going to use the phrase entangled universes. Because of this, is that the idea of the spiritual dimension of heaven, that it could be, you know, and it does, it cohabitates the atmosphere with us. Like right now in the room, if we believe the scriptures, we could say there's more angels in this room than there are people. That would be true. I know that everyone through study, and there you can find scriptures in some sense that point this out, that everyone's given a guardian angel, but you're given other angels too. Angels on assignment because of your assignment. And so I've had insight into that myself. I've seen it. I've been prophesied about that, that there's angels that come alongside, help in ministry. I know when miracles break out, it's because angels are present. It's just that we can't see them, right? And so for me, it's like, I think it's more accurate in the scriptures that it's the seen versus unseen. It's not the idea about another dimension or that's just a spiritual dimension, because everything that God created is all comes out of the same substance. The things that you can't see are still made of atomic and subatomic particles. They exist in some form. We just can't see them. It's the unseen world. Right now, if I put a space heater in front of you, that kind that you plug in and it glows infrared heat, people in the back could see it. They could see, they could say, yeah, that looks to me like a heater glowing on the stage, but they wouldn't be able to feel it. But the people on the front row might be able to feel it because they're close enough, they can experience infrared. And the people in the back, you're looking at ultraviolet. That there's different spectrums of light, or not ultraviolet, it would be within the spectrum of visible light. But you can see things, but you know that even turned up to a certain volume, they still exist. We just can't perceive them. We are watching the Westminster Dog Show was on yesterday, and they were, don't ask me why. I'm not sure, but it was on in the background. I was studying, and I looked up, but I did catch this one phrase. I caught more than one phrase, but this one was the thing that was most interesting. They walked the bloodhound out, and the commentator said that bloodhound can follow a human scent based on one molecule, you didn't say molecule, of human skin. One fleck. It wasn't even a flake. He used the term molecule. Whatever. Anyway, it's super, super little. That bloodhound could pick up on that and follow human scent from one speck of human flesh. One. And you think, how many here could do that? How many here would even care? But the idea, why is something designed like that? That dog could pick up on a molecule, or no, they use the word cell. It was one cell of human skin. From a cell of human skin, a dog could pick up that scent and follow it. I just think, what a miserable existence that dog must have. Amen. Speaking of schizophrenic, but the idea that God builds things and exists in ways and does things that's outside of the norm of our human experience, what we can see, feel, taste, and touch, but those things are existing all the way around us. Well, it's the same about with heavenly things. And I've talked about this before, but there's so much more information. I picked up a magazine on one of my flights, and it was about a science magazine. But the whole thing was given to the concept of quantum physics. And I mentioned this phenomena before, but quantum entanglement, just, we're not going to get off on too far. And don't walk out, you think we're going new age, please. This is as God's original intent as you can get, if you really understand. Quantum entanglement is a physical, say physical phenomena. It's physical. It's part of the created world. It occurs when pairs or groups of particles are generated. They interact or share spatial proximity in ways such that a quantum state of each particle cannot be described independently of the state of the others when the particles are separated by a large distance. This has been replicated over and over. And the mystery is in that picture you're seeing, what actually caused pairing to happen? And so there's other theories about what causes pairing to happen, but they know this, that when it happens, whatever effect that you put on one atom, there's an instantaneous response on the other atom, and it doesn't matter what part or corner of the universe it's parked in. It's instant, and it's predictable. And so they go through this graph, again, without getting too far, but and because I don't understand all the details, the concepts I grasp and get super excited about. But in this idea of paired particles, they show these two, and they measure the state of A, and the state of B instantaneously changes. So that's one of the things they're showing in a diagram of explaining this. Then they go on, they say, in reality, the correlations are explained by a physical influence traveling through a hidden level of reality. In other words, as much as they can look at eensy teensy nano micro things, there's still something that's still hidden to their level of reality that is creating this phenomena. And they say some unseen influence in our level of reality travels faster than the speed of light. It's not subject to light, sound. It's just this crazy, incredible thing that God built into the universe. And look at this last one. I had that word down. That word. That's it. This is no definite cause and effect in the quantum world. B is as affecting A as much as A is affecting B. Just want you to think about that for a minute. That in this relationship that can happen from one corner of the universe to the other that's instantaneous, the effect on A to B is the same as B on A. They're both mutually affecting each other at the very same time. And on free will, it says some external force is manipulating the experiments so they always see correlations. It's been proven in numerous parts of the world over and over again, but it's creating the greatest mystery about this thing that they've discovered. And I like it because I think about scriptures that we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You think that's true? Think in the new birth when he gives us a new heart and a new spirit and he puts his spirit in us that somehow we're paired so that he's always conscious of you and me. And so when we pray a prayer, it's not about having to travel through light years of time and space before it gets to a place called the throne of God, but instantly he would be touched by your feeling or your groaning or your prayer. And the thing is it's two ways. It's not like we pray and then we have to wait. Oh, you just got in line. Your prayer, you just got registered. It is in line. And God's going to scroll. And hopefully your name will come up at some appointed time. And he'll be able to come together with the jury of heaven and decide a verdict for your prayer. It's instantaneously represented in the throne of grace. That you never go a moment. Jesus said he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows every time a bird falls to the ground. God's connected. And the interesting thing is, so are we. There's a cause and effect. We are paired in the body of Christ. We're set together, it says, as members in the body of Christ. So what you do affects me and what I do affects you. When I pray for you, there can be an effect. Paul said this, through your prayers and supply of the Spirit, he goes, I'll be delivered according to my earnest expectation. You matter. Amen? You matter how you're praying. You matter how you're worshiping. You matter when you participate, when you're joined. The effect of your life has a profound effect on where we go together and take the earth. Amen? Those are joined to the Lord. We're one spirit, not separable. He's committed to us. He actually occupies, it's a physical phenomenon. He actually occupies real estate in my being somehow. And there's some theories about that. Carolyn Lee said, thoughts grow trees in your brain. That there's actually physical effects of being joined, of being entangled together that creates a place that God actually occupies. And there's scripture, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's not just metaphysical language. He sets up his holy of holies in a human being. And the more that we become entangled with him, and I'll talk about that in a moment, is the more that he possesses us, the more that his spirit works through us. Because this concept of entanglement also works in other realms. Paul used this when you're joined to the Lord, you're one spirit. He was using it in the area of sexual chastity and those kind of things. He's talking about if you're being joined sexually with someone, there's a pairing that takes place. That creates an entanglement. That part of our ministry and the healing ministries in this house and the healing ministries in the body of Christ is really about helping people become untangled. How you can lose your pairing with those former thoughts and former situations and so former people and those former memories that's still trying to occupy real estate in your brain and in your spirit. And that could be, you can get untangled. And you could be distant from those things. And the more you distance yourself from those things, the more you draw closer to God, the more real estate he takes up in your being. The more your mind becomes part of his mind. The more your spirit becomes part of his spirit. You become sensitive. You begin to realize that you're connected to a reality right now and it's in heaven. And God's there. And he's speaking blessings to you. And he has identity over your life. And he's trying to encourage you from the throne of grace. It's called the throne of grace. It says you can go there to find help in time of need. It's real. It's constant. It's instant. He's for us. Amen. His river's flowing. It's rapid. It's bursting forth. It's got fruitfulness in it. Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. How does Jesus choose on a Sunday morning where he's going to be? Amen. Does he just pull the lotto? I'm going to be at that church today. Two or three are gathered in my name. I'll be there, but I won't be there because I can only be in one place at one time. No, he's paired. Amen. He can be everywhere. His people are. Everything that he's joined to, he can be releasing life into. He can be releasing wisdom into. He can be releasing counsel into. He can be walking the aisles and healing somebody here and doing on the other side of town or the other side of the world or in another planet if he chooses to. Amen? Every time. Not if he's available, right? Every time you gather in my name, I'm in your midst and I'm here to release something to you out of my spirit, out of my river. I release something out of my river to you to bring a blessing and a benefit. And he said, see that you do not despise one of these, for I tell you that their angels in heaven say always, always see the face of my Father. The angels that are working with you are always beholding the face of your Father in heaven. So you're praying. We believe Psalm 91. He's given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, lest I even dash my foot against a stone. You're praying. You're meditating. You're believing in the power of heaven. There's angels present and connected to the throne to bring that to pass. Why they let things through and things happen, that's in the mind of God. That's in the, in the sovereignty of God. But we can have influence. And having questions like that, don't let that stop your attitude. Don't let that affect your prayer life. Don't let that affect what you're believing God to do in you and through you and for your family. Don't let those hiccups happen because this is biblical truth that we're called to pray, we're called to petition, we're called to ask. Even though he knows those things before we pray. We're still commissioned. That's our part. Because we have an effect. We're connected to the real estate of earth. We are paired. We have influence. Our words matter. Our prayer matters. Our supply of the Spirit matters. Paul said this. So you look at, we're on a journey, right? It's an entangled existence. There's influences of the world. There's influence of the fallen things. But there's influence of heaven towards us, through us. And this is what he said. And we all who with unveiled faces, look at the word, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, one of the scientists said his theory and what causes pairing to happen is contemplation. He said because what they've observed is looking upon, observing through their instruments, observing this atom immediately causes a response in this. To a point that was his theory. How are they influenced? By contemplation. That's wild. You think about, the more you think about the Lord and the more you think about his glory, the more of your being he begins to occupy. And that creates a transformational effect that causes his image to begin to increase in us, and the image of his glory that comes from his presence and from his spirit to begins to increase in us. It's a transformational experience as he grows, or as you grow into him, and more begins to happen. Because you know what the final expression of our human life is? We become like him. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. In this tangled universe, heaven, earth, Hades, the effect of the second heaven, and all of that, At one point, when God decides, at the end, there's going to be a transformational effect over all of us. Mortality is cast off to the side. Mortality is your antenna to earth life. Mortality is why things can affect your feeling, touch, sight, sound. It's why we deal with corruption. It's why our hearts become swayed. It's what creates double-mindedness. It comes through this antenna of the human body. Is it evil? No, it's not evil. It's just connected to the other source. For final destination, for final launch into God's full eternal purposes, mortality has to put on immortality. The same thing why earth gets changed. The same way why his creation goes through a shift. Is it, in one sense, it gets cleansed. In one sense, it enters into this new millennial time with Jesus, where there's a ruling and rulership that comes to a new level. The kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. Everything shifts. Everything changes. It's the promise. It's promised over and over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's a transformational time promised to the world, promised to the church. We don't get saved to go somewhere. We get saved to bring heaven here. Amen. That was Josiah's quote. We bring heaven here. We are connected. We are entangled with the throne of God. Is heaven somewhere you go? I believe it is. And this is one thing in quantum practice. It's like that scripture we read, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Christians use that to explain afterlife. It's not wrong. It's just not complete. Because when you're absent from the body, if he decides to pull you into his presence, like Paul talked about, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but 14 years, a man was caught up into the third heaven. He described his experience, but he said there was things that are unlawful, so he couldn't expound more than he was allowed. But he talked about that experience. That he got called out of the body, probably, whether it was in the body, both things went, and he actually experienced the third heaven. But in that experience, God can take you directly, and Einstein called them wormholes, but they know that in the universe that there's places that bypass other forces, like these quantum forces. Or God can take you, as many people have said, when they went to heaven, they actually time traveled. Percy Cillet said it took him 6.5 earth years. Akiani talks about her time. Over and over, people have had the experience of going to heaven by traveling to, I guess we'd use the term the physical place, but it's a created place. It exists at the center of the universe, and it's the place that was described in Hebrews chapter 12. God has a home. It's the New Jerusalem. At some point, it comes down and touches earth, but he's there now. Now you have come. It's going to travel. It's going to move. How will it do that? Will people see it coming through space, or will it instantaneously set up on New Jerusalem? He can do it both ways. He's created the universe to accept both practices. Amen. You can be instantaneously in his presence, or you can travel to his presence. You can come to before the throne of God through the gates, through outer paradise. You can see the scenery of heaven. You can be greeted by loved ones. You can be greeted by saints. You can be escorted in, or you can be transported right into the presence of God. He gets to choose. It's not an either or, it's a both and. It all exists. It was all part of his original creation, and he's going to allow you to experience it in different ways. If you died right now, could you expect to be in the presence of the Lord? Yes. If you've got a born-again spirit and you're connected to God in the spirit, he can instantaneously pull you right into his presence. He'll most likely deliver you into a place of heaven where you get comfortable first. That's the norm. That's in most of the narratives that I've gathered, that God's very much about your comfort. He doesn't just shock you and put you in front of his throne. Most people would burn up. So it's a process, but he has different ways. He could do it instantaneously. He built it into creation. He is an amazing creator. Amen. We don't get saved to go somewhere. We get saved to bring heaven here, actively partnering with us and taking the world somewhere. Amen. We've got an amazing responsibility, amazing blessing. We're amazingly created, but we're connected to him. It's not a distance connection. Even though we've come unto, that might be describing some place, as some have said, in the center of the universe. You'd never, ever get a missile there. You'd never get a rocket. It couldn't happen. You'd have to have some other form, like quantum entanglement, to get there. But it's there. And we're here, and we're connected to his mind, to his heart, to his purpose, to his processes. He's releasing a river, and in that river is fruitfulness. In that river is wisdom. In that river is understanding. In that river is strength. And Jesus, right now, over this place, over this gathering, I pray you release your river right now. Because in that is all kinds of things. There's healing in your river. Ezekiel said, wherever your river flowed, there was healing. And you saw it flowed to the people. It flowed to the multitudes. And I pray right now, healing flows. I pray specifically in the area of entanglement. You have a way to reprogram us. You touch us. We've seen people gone through amazing things, become sober instantly, become delivered from drugs instantly, never having to detox, never having to go through any process, just encountering the presence of your spirit. Any way that you do it is fine, but Lord, in this atmosphere right now, I'm asking you to touch people who are entangled. By your power right now, touching minds, touching brains. Memory is stored all through your body. There's more memory cells in your intestinal tract than there is in your brain. Father, thank you. Touching people, breaking entanglement. Breaking entanglement. Take possession. We've been bought with a price. Take possession of us right now, God. Take possession of our minds. Take possession of our spirits. Take possession of our hearts. Gain territory in me today, Lord. Expand your temple in me today, God. Broaden the Holy of Holies in me today, Father. In Jesus' name, change appetites. Thank you, Lord. Change distractions. Remove double-mindedness from my being right now, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray that over people. Made in his image and likeness with his original intent to multiply. Those who are no longer in childbearing age, they still can multiply. They still multiply spiritual sons and daughters. They still multiply with their influence, helping people go the right direction in the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for fruitfulness in Jesus' name. I just specifically, I see the word weakness. And I don't know if that's because we're clinging to that mindset. Maybe it's just the busyness of the time, physical things wearing you down. But God, thank you right now. Where there is weakness, there's now strength in Jesus' name. Receive a spirit of might in the name of Jesus. Just receive a spirit of might. Paul talked about that. That you need a spirit of might to be able to comprehend. I pray right now a spirit of might would come over people and in people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's a term that runs back through the history of Christianity called surrender. Surrender is basically giving up territory. Basically, an inward confession could be an outward confession, but you're saying, I surrender to the will of God. I was recently with a guy who talked to me about the years he had struggled with addiction, and then one day he had that encounter, one day it changed. I said, what do you think was different about that day? And he said, I can't explain it other than to say on that day I was able to surrender. I said, have you been able to surrender before? Yeah, many times. I surrender, God. But that day, something in me really allowed me to surrender. So as much as lies with your own will, just right now, if you're in that situation where you say, I need to be disentangled, you can whisper it, you can say it as deeply as you can. Just say, God, I surrender today. I surrender. Father, I pray, disentangle them. Disentangle them. Bring light. Bring freedom. Flood them with your love. Flood them with your understanding. You're made in the image and likeness of God. Your life matters. You're valuable. You're precious. Thank you, Father. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I ask you right now, from your throne, release wisdom to people. Many people praying about direction, what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to go. How are things, what's the next step? How's that supposed to unfold? Father, wisdom from your throne in Jesus' name. You give it liberally and you don't withhold it. Release wisdom right now. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Heavenly Father. Love you, Holy Spirit. We're in awe of you, God. Magnify you above our brains. Magnify you above our circumstances. We magnify you above our troubles. We magnify you. You are bigger than all of this stuff. Lift us up. Show us things. Lift us up and show us things. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I see them just, Father, open windows of heaven. Release finances. In Jesus' name. Solomon said money is a defense. It could keep you from problems. The love of money is the root of all evil, but money isn't. Money's the solution sometimes. Father, open windows of heaven and release blessings over households in Jesus' name. I'm praying supernaturally, God. Supernaturally. The wealth of the earth is yours. Jesus is the mediator of the covenant, and he's in heaven. And he directs angels to lead you into things that are laid up for your inheritance. Thank you, Lord. Captain of the host of heaven, release angels. Open windows of heaven. Lead people into problem-solving finances. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In your own heart, if those things apply, just ask the Lord. Just say, I receive that. I receive that. If it's coming down your river, I receive it. If it's coming from your river, Jesus, I receive that right now. Thank you for it. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. You know, along that line of surrendering, there's an amazing... more than one. The whole scriptures are amazing. But in Revelations 3, where he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man or woman hears my voice and opens their heart, I'll come in and I'll commune with them. So maybe today is a day when you say, I surrender. It's not just because you want to be released from entanglements, but it's, I really would like a new start in God. I'd like to begin a new walk with Jesus. Wow. Whew. Thank you for being in our midst. Lord, let him hear the knock. Wow. Sometimes in response, your heart begins to beat faster. Hopefully it's beating now, but needs to begin to beat faster. It will sometimes when that knock occurs. But he's speaking to you. So Lord, we just thank you for knocking on door of hearts. And we're going to pray a prayer as a church before we dismiss today. And it's a simple invitation that Lord, come into my heart, commune with me, share with me, fellowship with me. And our part is by that invitation, just saying, yes, Lord, come in. So we try by habit to lead people in that prayer. It's where everybody that's a Christian started at some point in their life by making that invitation to Jesus as he initiated. So maybe it's you today and you've never done that, or it was a while ago and you say, today's the day. I just feel like I want to recommit. If you're in either of those things, could you just lift up your hand till we see you? Is anybody today saying, oh, I see that hand. God bless you. That's awesome. Anybody else? Lights are bright. Anybody else? Oh, I see that hand. Awesome. God bless you, sir. That's amazing. Congratulations. Congratulations. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. There's so much activity. Oh. Spiritual workings right now in hearts. Phew. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your original intention for me. I've been made in your image and likeness. I have the power to oversee, the power to rule, the power to subdue, the power to have dominion. Thank you for that. Thank you for sending Jesus on my behalf. I believe he died for my sins. I accept today that sacrifice for sin. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to put your spirit in me and give me a new heart, that I could walk with you in new life. In your name I pray. Amen.